Hi there, little buddy. I never seen you in this place before. You coming here very often?
Well, no, I don't. I was just passing through.
What's that doohickey you got there?
Oh, this? This is my iPod.
Pretty little thing. What's it do?
Well, I play music or podcasts on it.
What's a podcast?
Well, it's like a radio show that I can listen to whenever I want.
You got any Dolly Parton or Randy Travis on there?
Well, no, I'm afraid I don't. I don't much listen to country music.
Huh! You wouldn't be one of them damn commies from California, would you?
Sir, would you mind very much if I asked you to leave me alone? I would very much like to sit here in peace and listen to Technorama.
See? I knew you was a commie!
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Interviews!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. Technorama is the podcast that may one day be used to help mental patients.
Used?
One day?
Maybe.
Now that it was already. Depends which way you're helping them.
Helping them in or out?
Ignorance is bliss sometimes. This is the show for September 25th, 2006. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. If you're a returning listener, we appreciate your support. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good over here.
Over where?
Under here.
In the media corner.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm good under here.
No. That's a third grade joke.
Man.
All right, coming up in tonight's show, we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got a way to make iPod docs, baseball news, Foxtrot takes on Web 2.0, listener Steve needs some help, hope you can help him out,
and listener Steve,
the stories of exploding batteries doesn't end here. We'll be right back.
Yes, we will.
On this day in tech history for September 25th, 2006. This is September 25th, it's the 268th day of the year, in the Gregorian calendar, of course. There are just 97 days left in 2006. It was on this date in 1513 that Spanish explorer Vasco Núñez de Balboa reached the Pacific Ocean. And the Public Occurrences, both foreign and domestic, becomes the first newspaper published in the Americas. Published for the first and only time on this date in 1690. And it was on this date in 1804 that the Teton Sioux, a subdivision of the Lakota, demand one of the boats from the Lewis and Clark expedition as a toll for moving further upriver. Seems a bit steep. Not the river, the toll. Jimmy Doolittle performs the first blind flight for Mitchell Field, proving that full instrument flying from takeoff to landing is possible on this date in 1929. And it was on this date 36 years ago that the Partridge Family debuts on ABC TV.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. Make you happy.
Monty Python member Michael Palin sets out from London's Reform Club on this date in 1888 to start his BBC documentary Around the World in 80 Days. And just 4 years ago, the Vitim event, a possible bolide impact in Siberia, Russia, occurs. On this date in 2003, a magnitude 8.0 earthquake strikes just offshore of Hokkaido, Japan. Happy birthday goes out on this day to Stephen Burrow, the English explorer. And the Danish astronomer Ole Rømer was born on this date in 1644. French geologist Jean-Baptiste Dillet de Beaumont was born on this date in 1798. And Carl Alfred von Zittel, the German paleontologist, was born today in 1839. Thomas Morgan, American geneticist and recipient of the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine, was born on this date in 1866. Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, turns 55 today. And Superman actor Christopher Reeve was born on this date in 1952. And finally, Will Smith turns 38 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for September 25th, 2006.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. We just got started. Wow. That makes
Hello. For a short show.
Good night, Springfield. We love you.
Thank you. Good night. Rock on.
We were just wondering if Luke Skywalker would get to be, you know, 900 years old. If you know.
Catch up with me or not.
DeVille is here.
Ooh.
Didn't I already do that one? Anyway, it's a good one. We have mail from Steve in Qatar. Listener Steve is over there. He's usually over here.
It's Cutter, I think.
Cutter?
Yeah.
Quoter?
Cutter.
Cater?
Cater. Catering.
He writes, "Hey, Chuck and Craig. Well, I'm here in Cutter. During the month of Ramadan at the Ramada Inn." No, he's not at the Ramada Inn. Yay! I recently found out that if I am found eating or drinking in town during daylight hours, that I will be arrested.
Holy cow.
Phew. I guess I'm glad I work during daylight hours.
That's right.
Anyway.
Wow. Wait a minute. I can't have trouble. Why?
Cultural thing.
I guess so. Okay.
Anyway, I'm writing because I hope that you can help or one of your many Technorama listeners can help. One of either of our Technorama listeners.
Yes, that's you and you.
As you know, I'm working here on the military base. There are pretty tight restrictions on things such as podcast downloading and such. This means for about a month or so while I'm here that I can't get my favorite podcast, you know, Technorama.
Twit.
Hey, it even says hee-hee right in there.
Hey.
He knew when to laugh. Yeah. Anyway, here's my question. Do you know of something that I could load on my Linux/Apache web server that could serve as an RSS/podcast aggregating proxy?
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do is point my podcast feeds to my Linux box special URL and actually retrieve the podcast updates via my web server, utilizing it as a proxy. Does that make sense? I hope so. If not, then email me and I'll try to explain more. And then he gets into a little more explanation down there.
You know what? I do have an answer for that. And I think if I have to think about this some more, but I believe if you go download Bash Potter.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, Bash Potter is, it's just that. It's written in Bash. It's a script that will read a list of URLs, which are RSS feeds, and download. It'll keep a cache file, like just a big text file of what you already downloaded, mm-hmm. and it'll download them into a specific folder. And there's other modified versions on the site, one of which is mine, and that will do different things, like make a different playlist for the day, you know, whatever people's different needs were. So there's different versions on there as well. So Bash Parter would probably do that for you. And if you, on your Linux box, you could probably set up one of those jukebox web version of the jukebox, like a jukebox type software, and have it play those MP3s out of a particular folder.
Or if any of the listeners have other ideas or suggestions, send them along. Chuck at chuckchat.com or Craig, K-R-E-G at chuckchat.com.
You got that right.
He also says, P.S. I found out how awesome Gmail is with its free hosting of email. I've hosted my domains at home for the last several years, with the occasional plagues of server going down, internet going down. Since my internet was down for 4 days this week, I moved all my email hosting to Gmail. Very cool. I love the secure SMTP and POP3 access, so my wife, mom, and in-laws can continue to use Outlook.
You know what's cool about that whole thing is just what he mentioned right there, is that not only can you go in securely through the web browser, but when you set up, they have designed it where when you set up like Thunderbird, it is secure in and out, which is sweet. Without even you doing anything, you know, having to do any configuration except for setting up your, of course, the account on Thunderbird, it's all secure.
You know where you can go to find out how to set that up?
Rmail.com, the Gmail podcast. That's it.
Ding, 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 ding. Give that man a plastic teddy bear.
I think you can find that at chuckchat.com.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Shh. Okay, like, hey, man, like, this is the deal here. I tried to send you a letter, and you guys totally ignored me, and I'm just, like, not happy about this, eh? See, I went and talked to a lawyer friend of mine. Well, he's pre-law at some stupid little community college, but he said to send you a cease and desist letter. So I made one up and sent it to you, but you totally ignored me, and I'm a little upset about this. So hopefully this voicemail will get to you, and you can fix this problem. You can't go on doing this. You go into Blockhead Video and you record my brother's voice, and then you're using it on your podcast every week. Like, you're making fun of him or something. I just because he flunks out of typewriter school and has to work on Blockhead Video until he makes up enough money to get his car fixed. But, you know, it's not his fault he flunked out of typewriter school. Well, it kind of is, but Mom wants us to say that they closed his school, but, you know, between you and me, like, he put the keys back on the wrong place on the typewriters. But you can't be keep doing this. You gotta stop. So you're using his voice and all, but you don't provide any compensation for it or anything. Like, wait, hold on.
What? What? Uh-huh. Okay, Ma. Yeah. Alright.
I can't believe it. 34 years old and I'm still living with my mom. Jeez, I gotta get my own place. I gotta go take care of the garbage, but please respond back, okay? Thanks, man. Bye.
Alright, a cease and detest letter. That's a new one on me. We've gotten cease and detest letters before.
The typewriter school?
Well, okay, so I called the Blockhead Video guy, and this is what I got.
Beaker speaking.
Hey, Beaker, this is Chuck from Technorama. Remember me?
Who?
Chuck from ChuckChat.com, the podcaster.
Not really.
The microphone dude?
Oh, yeah. What's up?
Your brother called and said that we were using your voice without compensation.
Dude, cut down on the cheese.
Not constipation, compensation. Money. Cash.
Oh, right.
So, are you going to tell them we're paying you?
I didn't get any cash.
No, but we did send you that pizza voucher.
Yeah, about that, dude. The thing expired like in 1997.
What? Really? I'll have to speak to Craig about that. We'll get you another one right away.
Alright.
Alright, Beaker. Take it easy, dude. There you go. See, everything's all cleared up.
Ooh, yeah. Is this acne? Is that cleared up? Wow, interesting.
And we have one other.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Hey, guys, this is Lanny. Just wanted to leave you a message that I saved up enough money to get a ticket to meet you guys at a podcast expo in Ontario later this week. Really looking forward to it.
Hooray.
See you soon. One year one.
Wow. Lenny might be there.
Oh, gosh. You didn't give him a room number, did you?
No, didn't even tell him what hotel.
Okay.
Keep it between us.
All right, yeah.
And the fit guys.
Oh, wait. Yeah, wait a minute. He's going to be able to... Maybe he won't download his podcast between now and then.
No, we're not saying anything.
Okay.
But, if we run into Lenny, maybe we'll get an interview or something.
Or something.
I do expect to see a few listeners. Didn't we said Mad Marv was going to be there, right?
Yeah, I think so. Is he in the chat room?
No, Marv is not currently in the chat room. Those who are...
Yeah, I will email him and ask. But okay. Yes, those who are.
You, me, Michelle. That's Country Signs. Captain Rootbeer, Digital Dan. I'm not sure how you say this one.
Hextiglyph.
Hextiglyph. It sounds more like a function name.
I looked at that. It actually reverses and mixes up the letters in your name. That's the fun or in the string. That's the
flick-tack stump. I don't know. I'm trying to read it backwards. Missing Intellect. NYSV has been pretty quiet. They were there when I logged in a couple hours ago. Soul Blaze, Tim Elliott, and Zahadoom.
Zahadoom. What's that mean?
I looked on the listener birthday calendar. There was no birthdays for this week, but we do have a
couple. Let's just make one up.
Mark Hamill. Happy birthday, Mark Hamill.
Yeah. What's up, Luke? I'm down with your force thing.
Yes, old you are. All right, we're going to a break. We'll be back with the news.
Break you. Around the world, everyone's opening the bathroom doors to expose the...
Wash your hands before every email.
Yeah, Chuck DeMossi's the devil. I like it. Okay, it just feels tacked on. Have you used it, Chuck?
I'm weird. Sorry.
Go.
Go. Craig, I heard that. You were taking a drink and almost lost it. I'm going to get you sooner or later. We're going to hear all over the microphone.
You're right.
Chuck, you owe me a new microphone. Did I ask for this?
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I still say they're doing this as some kind of public service for a crime they won't admit to. Oh, and back to you, Chuck and Craig.
Ah, crime schmime. You'll never pin it on me, copper!
I didn't do it.
That must mean it's... time for the news with Chuck and Craig.
And now the weather.
Voice guy.
And now the weather.
Wait, it's the news time. You don't go right to the weather. Looney Tune. Speaking of news, our resident news guy, Chip Qwerty.
That's right.
Apparently.
He was right. He was right on track. You know, we were he had mentioned about NASA launching Starbucks into space and all that.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like it's actually going to come coming true. According to the entrepreneurs of and government officials at the Space 2006 conference, tourists rocketing into suborbit in the coming years will need to get caffeinated somehow. That's the storyline there. Looks like Starbucks and some other companies are looking to launch a space resort place. Is that what I said? The theme at the 3-day space export conference is commercializing space exploration. But you know what's funny is the tagline or the dateline at the top, it said
San Jose, California. Forget pigs. We're heading into the age of Starbucks in space.
What, do you put that in your Google alerts? Is that how you caught it?
Forget pigs. Yeah.
Wow.
I just thought that was funny when I read that. So,
yeah, yes, see, you people think it's a joke. This show's all about reading crystal balls in the future. Now, what I'm waiting for is Disney to step up and get, you know, Space Disney, but then I suppose Space Mountain wouldn't be much of a ride, would it?
Earth Mountain.
Or Earth Mountain. Ride a real coal car.
Just like Indiana Jones.
Feel gravity.
Feel gravity. Oh, you crack me up, Chuck.
Up, Chuck.
I bet you haven't heard that one before, have you?
All right. Famed kernel hacker Alan Cox's ThinkPad battery exploded.
Yes.
I love the narration on this thing, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, first off, I think is that right on the top, I think he actually mentioned that this could be possibly not IBM's battery, but a third party.
That's what it looked like. It said, Alan was on the other side of the room from the laptop. I was elsewhere. He yelled out. I ambled towards the room in my own good time. And then I heard, fire! Real fire! Call the fire brigade now! And I speeded up a bit.
Real fire.
From Alan, subsequently, I gather there was an explosion and flying pieces of laptop and a fireball, and a couple fires started where, presumably, boiling battery landed, and one fragment smashed an LCD monitor. And there was smoke and the smell. Well, there still is smell of smoke alarm, wailing, and firemen, and sirens, and paramedics, and circles, and arrows, and explaining what each one was. Oh, wait, different song. And a policeman with a notebook asking questions of the fire report. This is a great story. I mean, it sounds like my brother would tell me.
And he does have pictures of the laptop that they're talking about here. But what I'm going to, you know, this is just another example, of course, of a laptop battery blowing up. But think just over the past two and a half, three months, how many exploding laptop stories have we heard? And prior to this, how many have we not heard? I mean, I haven't heard of this happening.
Prior to that?
Really at all.
Just
until
just,
the last
yeah,
month.
You usually hear about this, the CPU getting hot or something.
Yeah, but I've never heard of a fire. Well, what if you got this thing in your lap? You're screwed.
Or in the overhead in the plane.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to figure out that, well, of course this is dangerous, but I'm just saying, looking back, why haven't we heard about this at all? Is it just that these companies are pushing so hard to get enough batteries out the door that we're starting to get into like some substandard materials here?
Could be.
And that's the only thing I can think of.
Could be. Call Mike Rowe and get him on Dirty Jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Mike Rowe with Dirty Jobs. Or Mythbusters.
Fire. Instead of Dirty Jobs, it's Fire Hazards.
All right, next story. We've got Jimmy Doohan's house is for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Says
this
coming,
not needing it anymore.
This coming Sunday, the 24th of September, which would have been yesterday in recording podcast years, my wife Carmen will be conducting an open house in Redmond, Washington. The house is cool enough all by itself, a spacious 4,300 square foot on two levels, sitting on five wooded acres. I can only imagine what that goes for in Redmond.
And the thing's paved all around it.
It's got a huge wraparound porch.
I assume that's for him to get. He probably had it like that so he can get around like a wheelchair or something.
But it is currently owned by the estate of James Doohan, Star Trek Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
There's a modicum of discreet memorabilia inside and no transporter or engine room. But I'm sure that the fact that this house was owned by a celebrity would certainly make it a conversation piece if you were so inclined.
Oh, I bet it would. It is huge. You see the garage in the very back. Like I said, everything's paved around it.
I just can't imagine what that goes for. I know somebody who lived in that area, and he had like a 1,500 square foot house on a crappy little lot, and it was like $450,000.
Well, quad that. I mean, really.
Well, yeah, that's just the square feet and the 5 acres.
Can you quad that or multiply it by four?
Never mind. That would be times three.
Anyway, it looks like a nice house. But I didn't know he lived in Redmond.
I didn't either. It was part of his estate. Maybe that was his weekend getaway.
Damn you, Bill Gates.
Or Bill Shatner.
Shatner.
Hacks and strange stories. As if everything on this show wasn't a strange story.
start with a couple of guys that are... Never mind. Well, here you go. Over at Engadget, they have a how-to to make a simple sound mixer, which looks really interesting. It's probably just above my electronic expertise. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Soldering four resistors doesn't look too bad.
Oh, well, maybe it's not so bad. I just don't... I don't know. I haven't done a lot of... Wait a minute. No, this is a lot easier than I thought.
But it's still above this. Your technique.
Yeah, it looks like they took like a little mixer thing you can get from Radio Shack and doctored it up and made it into a little sound mixer. So, I mean, there's not much to it.
I'm not sure what functionality... That's easy for me to say, feng shui.
Yeah, let's get it out.
Chung. What functionality did they add? It's a two-way audio switch box that has... The upper switch selects input, computer or aux, and the lower switch selects speaker or headphone output. They soldered some resistors on here, and you get down to the end. It looks like it's got the same functionality.
No, the problem was, you just said it. It's a switcher.
Right.
And they changed it to where you can run them both at the same time.
Oh.
Here's the problem. You get output both at the same time. Here you go. It says, now you've got a simple audio mixer that'll keep the inputs from driving each other and get the audio out from two sources to your speakers or headphones on demand.
As opposed to Chuck and Craig, which are two and mixer. Okay. As opposed to Chuck and Craig, which are two Technorama inputs that drive each other crazy.
Yeah. I'm a Technorama input. I'm the right one.
Also over at Engadget, we have a DIY iPod dock. They did this one for the Nano. Apparently back in, September 18th, they also did one for a fifth gen. Did you see the other one? One's a cardboard box, and one's the package from the Nano itself.
Yeah, this is the new packaging, which is like hard, clear plastic. So I'm sorry. Right below that, the Mac and PC ads are running. Anyway, what they did was it comes with a little plastic insert, which I'm a little confused at.
Where did they get the plastic insert?
It comes in it.
That comes with it. It comes with the dock. Doesn't come
There's
with the
no
iPod.
Dock. That's what you get.
Where?
You don't get a dock with this thing. You get the little insert thing.
Where do you get the insert thing?
It comes in the iPod Nano packaging. It's inside it.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. I thought it came with a dock.
Oh, it's I know awesome. Why. I know. Because if you already have a dock, or you have like the iHome.
Adapter, yeah.
You need the new adapter because this is a new geometry.
Yeah, but what the guy did was he actually attached it to the iPod Nano packaging, which it looks kind of cool like this. You just stick it in there. It gets a cut the thing.
Yeah, that was technical.
He cut the packaging.
Remind me to pick one of those up. I'm going to pick one of those up at Amazon for you. I know what's on Craigslist. A thing. Cut the thing with the thing.
Yeah, thing one and thing two.
I can see I'm going to be making sound bites out of this show on the plane.
On the plane. Okay.
And?
I put this in the Hacks and Strange Stories because I think this is just a cool hack. But these students took a hot air balloon, actually it's more like a weather balloon, and sent it up with a camera to the edge of space and took pictures of the Earth, and you can see the curvature of the Earth and everything. And it was actually a proof of concept where they can actually send up, maybe with a balloon, pull a rocket all the way to the edge of space, and then, of course, fire the rocket and go right into orbit with little or no effort, or very little effort, I should say. Less effort than trying to break, gravity's pull. So I thought it was pretty interesting, and the pictures are kind of neat. It's like sort of low resolution, but it's cool. You can, of course, see the Earth and everything. So
you put that one in right before the show or something. I missed that one.
Oh, you didn't see that?
I haven't seen that yet. I'm going to go take a look.
Yeah, go check out the pictures. They're pretty cool.
We're taking a quick break. Be right back.
Now, Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I just laughed my head off at these guys. I'll always download their show. When I first listened, I thought, who needs to listen to this? But then I caught the bug. Now I'm a convert and really do appreciate the time and quality that these two guys put into their podcast. It makes traveling time so much more enjoyable, and I learn from it. It's got to be good.
This is Bud Packer, formerly Division Chief for the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And in the Remember When segment, we have pictures.
This is a pictures. It's a link over at Boing Boing. And over at Boing Boing, they do provide us a picture, a link to some vintage pics of grocery stores, which is kind of cool. Those people are just happy to be shoveling meat out to you. But it's cool to look at the pictures and see the grocery store hasn't really changed a whole lot except for the style, I guess I should say. But if you go visit the link, there's some good black and whites of people cashing out, or, you know, there's like hats. There's a guy sitting there pulling the eggs in. That's kind of cool. And then they've moved down to some color ones, and there's the store manager. He just looks like a goob sitting there beside the corn chip.
He does look like a goob. I went to page 2. Look, pot roast, 59 cents a pound.
Hey, that sounds like a great deal.
There are a lot of things in here that really haven't changed a whole lot. You look at the dairy case, and, you know, except for a little modernization.
Actually, you know what's funny?
This guy standing next to a display full of jellies and jams or something, and he's got one hand in his pocket and the other hand on his hip.
Don't go any further, Chuck.
These girls have high water pants on.
That looks like it's in the late 50s or something. You know, what's funny is some of these pictures kind of jar some memories of when I went to the grocery stores when I was younger, you know, with the family and stuff.
Yeah, much younger.
Now, I don't remember a whole lot. I tell you what I do remember is there was a buy low, a grocery store that was near our house, and my aunt would pick up me and my brother and take us to her house to spend the night, of course, to give my parents a break. And she would take us over to the Bilo, and they had this cool machine over in the corner. And that was the big thing I wanted to go over to, because you put a quarter in it, it drops the cup and makes the soda right there in the cup. I just thought that was awesome.
A post-mix soda machine? You thought that was fascinating.
Then it would drop a cup, you know, and actually I thought it was mixing the soda into the thing, you know, all at once.
Do you remember the pre-electronic cash registers?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, before scanning, they would, you know, type things in. Before they type things in.
Yeah, I worked at a convenience store that had a mechanical, you know.
And when the electricity ran out, you had to use a crank. No,
it was
fooling.
Mechanical. You didn't need any electricity.
We got, well, it was electric because, you know, it would drive.
Chuck, this was before electricity.
Remember when cash registers didn't run on electricity?
We didn't have electricity.
Remember? Never mind. We need to move into the media corner. We still have a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move right along.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Now, this one almost should have gone in the Remember When section. It's a steam-powered Game Boy.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a YouTube video. And the guy has a little steam engine going, and it's generating, what is it, 4.5 volts or whatever the Game Boy needs. He's got a meter on there.
I'm trying to remember, it takes a couple of double A's or something.
Yeah. And that's enough to run his Game Boy, but it's, you know, a little hard to haul around, you know. But it's an honest to goodness steam engine powering a Game Boy. I thought that was funny.
Can I take my Game Boy in the car?
Well, take some batteries in there, kid.
Hey, I need more water and coal.
Coal. That's right. Anyway, moving right along in the media corner. I found that Mel Brooks is bringing Spaceballs to TV as an animated series. Just when you didn't think you had enough balls.
Hey, I can't believe it. This is from LosAngeles.BizJournals.com. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, Inc., the G4 Television Network, Brooks Films Limited, and Berliner Film Company GmbH says Wednesday that they are all teaming up to release an animated series based on the Mel Brooks 1987 sci-fi spoof Spaceballs. The series will be aired on the G4 Network, debuting in the fall 2007. It will have an initial run of 13 episodes. Brooks himself co-wrote the pilot episode with Thomas Meehan, who worked with Brooks on Spaceballs movie, and he will oversee the writing of the animated series. Brooks will lend his voice to the two characters from the movie, President Scroob and Yogurt. Hey,
Mel Brooks was quoted as saying, "May the Schwartz be with you."
May the Schwartz be with you.
Merchandising.
All right, I have to go watch that movie again.
I don't know whether to look forward to this or not.
Well, the initial one is going to be based on the movie, but after that, it could go anywhere.
Yeah, they said they were going to pick on anything, so. Hey, shall I bring that movie to the expo for you?
Please do.
All right.
Please do. That and Galaxy Quest.
Yes, I've already got it in my bag.
How packed are you, by the way?
I don't know. I'll pack Tuesday night.
My clothes are mainly packed, and my electronics, except for what we're using here tonight at the desk, is mainly packed.
Well, I'll have some clothes. It's not going to be that bad. I have room for the little mic case and got a cord and the headphones.
I was running around like a crazed lunatic today. I couldn't find my iRiver.
Oh,
like,
really?
Where the heck is it? It's not in my computer bag. It's not on my. It's not anywhere on my desk.
Chuck.
No, it was in my camera bag.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've done that before. I'm like, what the hell is it? You know, I'm looking around for a cable.
Well, last time I was on an audio tour, I had my camera with me and my iRiver, so everything kind of went back in the same bag, and I forgot all about it.
Well, most of my stuff's in my backpack already, except for some of the camera stuff, like our video camera. All that's in a Ziploc, ready to go.
All right, we take one more break. Oh, wait, we have a couple more things in here, don't we?
Don't you go so far.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're not done yet.
All right, first of all, I'll throw this out there real quick. Go and check out the Battlestar Galactica webisodes if you have not. I watched the six that are up there now. They're really good. I really enjoyed them. They're short. It'll take you all like 15 minutes to, you know, buzz through them because they're only like a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes each, and they kind of tie the last season to the current season, which starts in just a couple of weeks.
I love the internet.
Go check those out. Yeah, the internet's awesome.
You can make up words like webisode.
And interweb.
Now, what was with Colonel Ty on that last one? He started slipping into this Scottish accent.
He must.
Did you notice that?
I thought when I saw that, me too, I was like,
we don't need any crybabies. Arr, matey.
Irony, Bart. Actually, I think he probably is Scottish or something because he sure did.
Who do you think you are, laddie? You come down off that platform and get your butt in gear. We're going to kick some silent booty.
I'm sorry, I'm having flashbacks of Mel Gibson and his
Braveheart.
Yes, Braveheart. Oh, my mind went blank. Anyway, and Chuck, you had a few comments on the digitally remastered Star Trek.
Digitally remastered Star Trek. Yes, this afternoon I recorded. No, last night I recorded on TiVo because it was at like at 1:30 a.m. So this afternoon I watched after the Packers got their first victory. Yeah.
I mean, did my Panthers win?
I don't know. I watched The Devil in the Dark, digitally remastered. And right from the get-go, you know there's something different. The video is cleaner. When they pull up alongside the planet and go into orbit, it looks a little too... You know, there was something nice about that old cheesy planet look. It looks great, but it's not supposed to look that great, in my opinion. I mean, most of the planets were this bluish-green or gold color. This thing is brilliant orangish-red.
Yeah, it looks like any planet you've seen in any space adventure thing.
Right, like, anyway. And the ship is cleaned up. I did see, it wasn't on this episode because they didn't fire the phasers, but or the photon torpedoes. But they did do like a little cutaway to a commercial or something, and I had to do a frame by frame. And oh yeah, there's the glow on the hull.
That's the scene I was referring to.
Yep.
They shot they called them proximity phasers, and you can see it reflect against the hull. I thought it looked great, and you know what? To me, I don't mind the planet looking cool, but at the same time, I don't think that the additions they made detract from anything to the story. I actually enjoy the clarity because it looks really good. It's easy to look at.
I have to go back and look at some of my videotapes, because I don't remember the Horda being so brilliantly colored red and yellow. It looked like it had stage makeup on.
Hey, I'm pretty.
I think they tweaked the sound, too. I honestly do.
They did. I know the beginning, they re-recorded the intro. They re-recorded the intro, which I can't tell the difference.
This is why I want to go get a VHS out of my cabinet, because I don't remember the sound of the bio bed while the Horda was moving around. It was going,
boom, boom. That I don't know. I was talking about the intro music.
Right.
But you can't really tell the difference other than it's more a little more brilliant.
I'll
be honest with you, I don't think it detracts from anything. I think it adds to it. If anything, really, the only time I really paid attention to these episodes is when I was a kid. So now when I'm watching it, I'm looking for all whatever they changed, and it's hard to tell. So I'm paying attention to these in even more detail now. So,
and that's true. I mean, it is nice to watch. I mean, it's almost like you're watching it at a movie theater or something. It's so cleaned up and fresh looking.
Yeah, but I'm paying attention to the stories and everything so close to see what's going on. You know what's cool? My son was sitting there watching it with me. He was like, what is that thing? It was eating through the rocks and stuff.
when it came bursting through the wall, when you actually saw it come through the wall, they changed that. That was digitally remastered. You could tell that effect, because it used to just kind of glow orange and then poof, there it was. Now it's kind of dissolves. You know,
like I said, I like it. I don't think it detracts from anything, because they didn't change anything other than just the way things look a little bit. And it's still similar in the style of the way it was made originally. So,
yep. All right.
So, there you go. Beam me up.
I like it.
I'm done.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the Geek Library.
Spock, there's no intelligent life in this podcast.
How are you, Craig?
I'm good.
You sound good there, Grandpa.
But the Illusion Islands?
The Elusive Islands?
It's next door to Fantasy Island.
The plane!
Tattoo, why are you chain smoking again?
The plane mask. Did it sound okay to you?
God, you sound bad.
Shut up, man.
There's nothing like an apple. But do you really appreciate everything that is an apple? Sure, there's the attractive outer skin, but then you get to the meat of your apple. Right down to the very core. There's a lot in there. Discover all the goodness your sweet apple can provide you, along with the occasional rotten spots, worms, and bugs. With the Typical Mac User podcast and website, go to typicalmacuser.com. Go on, take a bite. It's quite tasty.
Hi, this is T. Morris, host of the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, co-author of Podcasting for Dummies, and co-founder of Podiobooks.com. And you're listening to Technorama, the show where Chuck Tomasi really wishes he was Evo Terra. And now, here are your hosts, Craig and Evo. Chuck.
Shut up. Shh. This is my favorite part of the show. It's the Geek Library.
And in the Geek Library this time, we have a reference to Ajax Help. If you are an Ajax-type programmer, this has all the news about what's happening in Ajax, Ajax scripts, tutorials, a code library.
Or if you just like your kitchen clean.
Oh, that would be Mr. Clean. Or Comet.
Ajax, hello.
Comet, it makes your teeth so green. Comet, it smells like gasoline. Don't you remember that?
No, I just remember the diarrhea one. That's
I don't know which one you remember, but I remember two. We won't go there.
Later.
Yeah, we're not that childish on this show.
That's right.
We're just very childish. And if you want to teach somebody about RSS the Oprah way, this I thought was very funny.
Yeah.
Oprah, RSS doesn't stand for simple syndication. It's ready for some stories.
You know what? It almost reads like one of those those instruction things on a plane on how, what to do. Like the remember the snakes on the plane thing we saw?
Yep.
Instruction card.
But it's actually, you know, it makes sense. Whatever it takes to describe RSS or that type of technology, I'm for it.
You know, and sometimes as simple as RSS can be, it can get confusing to talk about, like, a podcast. What's that? Well, you know,
right.
You describe it. Anyway, as I also wanted to throw in here, the Foxtrot, I read every day, and starting on September 19th, they started ragging on Ajax, and it kind of goes through the week, so you have to go check that out. It's a lot of fun.
Start with the link in the show notes and click on the next day link to read like the next success of 4 or 5. It is pretty funny.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I wanted to add, we were talking about the Devil in the Dark.
Yep.
Episode. My wife pointed out something that was really funny. Spock was using the phaser as a pointer as he was talking. he was waving it around.
Really? I missed that.
Did you delete it or you still got it?
Oh, I still got it.
It's one of those scenes where it's just him and Kirk in the hallway, and they're just talking about, I think it's when they're in the larger area. I can't remember. Anyway, he's sitting there talking. He's kind of waving around, being illustrative with his speech.
Don't wave that thing in my face.
I know, and she said that, and I started, and he did it again. I was like, he could totally could have taken Kirk out, right?
All right, we wanted to let everybody know that we will be doing a podcast from the Podcast Expo.
Yes.
We're estimating showtime to be Thursday night.
Hey, unless Chuck is waving his phaser in my face.
Or other way around.
Yeah. So.
Beware of first, second in commands that wave phasers.
Yeah.
We're estimating Thursday night about 9 or 10 p.m. Pacific time.
It's hard to tell because we've got so many things going on. However, we do want to add that check the blog as soon as we get a closer time. We'll post on when we'll be in the chat room and streaming and doing all that. Well, hopefully, I guess the stream will work through the
hotel.
It should.
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not, but we'll see. And anyway, if there's anything changes, we'll post any information that's pertinent on the blog. So keep an eye on that at chuckchat.com/technorummer. Technorama, not.
If you want to get
chuckchat.com/technorama,
that takes us to the end. If you want to get in contact with us, you can get a hold of us all like Lenny did on the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Chuck at chuckchat.com. Craig is K-R-E-G. 1-G, 1-K. The rest is at chuckchat.com.
There's only one me.
There's also the website, the only constant in the universe, at www.chuckchat.com for all of your forums, swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and much more. Thank you very much, Marv. He has been diligently putting things into the blog. If you're not subscribing to the full feed, if you're just getting the podcast, you're missing a whole lot of stuff that he's putting in there from lots of various sources.
I tip my tinfoil hat to him.
Oh, no doubt, man. The guy's been working twice as hard as we have.
We'll pay him twice as much as we get paid to.
2 times 0 is nothing. This show is a member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. Audio streaming is graciously provided by scottreynolds.com. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, if Man Marv does come to the expo, I will graciously buy him a beer.
One for me, too. You can pay for mine.
Okay.
Chat room is provided by freenode.net. If you're getting this show the old-fashioned way, without Oprah's RSS help.
With hand cranks and gerbils.
Or steam-powered Game Boys. Consider subscribing to the show and get it automatically delivered for you for free. I can't even read it.
It's me to
right
say,
here
you...
in front of my face. Drop either one of us an email from the aforementioned email addresses, and we will teach you the enlightened ways of RSS. We will.
We'll send them a link to the RSS for dummies link, the Oprah way.
For the Oprah way. Whatever works. Tell a friend about Technorama. Everybody's been doing an awesome job at that. Until next time, thanks for listening, and a binary high five.
101.
Take care, and we will talk to you in a few more days.
Are we ready to board the plane now?
Go for it, man.
All right, see you.